tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good day and welcome to you. Today we are continuing our series entitled Kill the Jerk. All of us have an inner jerk. And often when that inner jerk comes out, we justify it because we feel like we're in the right. The inner jerk comes out when we become offended, when we don't get our way, when someone does something mean or something we disagree with. That's when the inner jerk comes up and we're often blinded to it. We can see other people's jerk way easier than we can see our own. All of us have these feelings, that inner jerk, it is a natural part of being human. But if you're a Christian, you are not called to live in the natural, but the supernatural. And Jesus said that we are to take up our cross and to die daily and follow after him. That is, we are to crucify our flesh, crucify the inner jerk, crucify the selfish side of us. And how often do we do that? Daily. That's where we get the idea of killing the jerk. To get rid of this jerk, it is not something that we can be passive about. We don't accidentally fall into killing the jerk. We don't accidentally become a better person. It happens intentionally. And on week one of the series, the big idea was, if you want to see your true self, look at how you treat the people closest to you. This comes from the honeymoon phase. It's something that I've mentioned every week in this series. And the honeymoon phase is something that we naturally go through. When we first meet someone, or when we first start a job, when we first start dating or start getting into a friendship, when the relationship is new, we are on our best behavior. While we are on our best behavior, we don't allow the other person to see the negative sides of our personality. Once the honeymoon phase ends, we then allow them to see our full personality, and that includes the jerk. The reason this happens is because when we become comfortable with someone, the honeymoon phase ends because in our brains we say, that person is no longer a risk of leaving. I'm no longer afraid of losing this job. I have job security. Therefore, we're not on our best behavior. We allow some negative things to come forth. It is something that happens to all of us, and we have to fight against it. And so if you want to see your true self, look at how you treat the people closest to you. That is, your family and your friends are in your life so that you can practice godly characteristics. You get to practice patience with your family. You get to practice kindness with your family. You get to practice forgiveness with your family. Why? Because God has strategically placed them in your life so that you can practice the things of God. You're going to spend more time with your friends and family than anyone else. And so they are in your life to practice those things. Week two, the big idea was, your inner jerk is revealed when you don't get your way. If you want to see the inner jerk, watch how you act when you don't get your way. All of us have an eye for an eye mentality. That is, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you back. If you don't give me what I want, I'm going to fight for it, even if it means being nasty or being ugly. And I gave you an acronym on how you can work through this, on how you can have more patience and more grace, and how you can treat people with kindness, even when you have big emotions. The acronym is TRY. Now, I said this last week, that if you want to know the acronym, to go back and watch that sermon. You can watch it online on our Facebook page. It's on demand. It's week two of Kill the Jerk, or you can listen to the podcast, which is found at iTunes or also on our website. I said that last week as a way to encourage you, if you don't remember what TRY is, or if you didn't listen to that one, I try to encourage you to go back and listen. And some of you texted and called our staff members to try to get the answer to the acronym. That is cheating. Do not text anyone. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You need to watch this. If you don't know what it is, watch it again. Listen to it again. Engage it. And I'm just kidding around with you, but I would encourage you to rewatch it or to watch it if you want to know how to help control your big emotions. Week three's big idea is, when you think something nice, say it. When you think something nice, say it. The ratio for healthy relationships is 5 to 1. That is 5 positive experiences to 1 negative. Now, because of the honeymoon effect, we will have a natural tendency to be uglier to the people that are closest to us. We will take them for granted. We will take advantage of them. We will assume that they will always be there. And that's why the big idea was, when you think something nice, just say it. If you think about your spouse in a kind way, say it out loud. Send them a text. Send them a message. If you think about your kids in a kind way, say it out loud. If you think about your friends or coworkers, say it as often as you can, because healthy relationships live with a 5-to-1 ratio. That is 5 positive experiences to 1 negative. And you by nature are going to be more negative to the people closest to you, because you will assume they will always be there. And we have to fight against that. Week 4, the big idea was, gratitude is a choice, not a circumstance. If you want to live in God's will, to live in God's will means that you give thanks daily. You give thanks in every situation. That is God's will for you. Now, that does not mean that you are thankful for everything that happens. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be heartbroken. Those are natural feelings. Those are real life human emotions that we find all throughout the scriptures. But in this exact same time of going through a difficulty, we are to be thankful. That is, find something to be grateful for. And I encouraged you last week to be grateful, to start your day, every day, being grateful, to continually practice gratitude, to thank God for the great things that you have in your life. Well, today what I want to talk about is, how do you respond to a jerk in your life? What happens if you are married to a jerk? Or what happens if one of your kids is a little jerk? Or what happens if you work with someone who is a jerk? Or maybe your boss is a jerk? Or what happens if you have a neighbor who is a jerk? Or the one that I see so often is, what do we do with the jerks that are online? What do we do? Sometimes we call them trolls. What do we do with the people who just feel like they're unkind, who just are out there to ruin people's days? How do we respond, and what do we do to those people? Our scripture today, it was written thousands of years ago, but it is incredibly relevant for today. Our scripture comes from Galatians, and we're going to read our theme verse for today, which is Galatians 5:14, and I want to invite you to read it along with me. Wherever you're watching this out, would you just read it out loud? And when we get to the reference, Galatians 5:14, there's 2 dots, and I like to have a little bit of fun with this. You don't have to do this. There's no pressure to do this, but if you like having fun, you'll join me, and we'll have a little bit of fun together. When we see the 2 dots, we're simply going to go dot, dot with our hands. It's just something silly that we do at Next Level. So if you read it with me nice and loud, it says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Galatians 5:14. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you and we ask that you would speak to our hearts. But God, it's not enough just for us to hear you. True Christians obey and they follow what you tell us to do. So we ask, God, that you would give us the courage to obey you even when we're scared. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So the author of the verse that we just read and that we're going to spend time in is a guy by the name of Paul. Paul is often referred to as an apostle. He is someone who experienced Jesus through a vision, and his life was radically changed. He went from persecuting Christians to leading Christians. He was a missionary who traveled around the world and converted thousands of people to Christianity. He wrote over half of the New Testament, and that is why we say that Paul is a PTP-er. He is a prime time player. And I want to dive into Galatians, and as we read it, I'm going to give a little bit more context as to what he was writing about. Galatians 5:13, Paul writes, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." Now let's stop there for a second to get a little bit of context. The issue with the Christians living in Galatia was there were 2 different groups of people. There were those who were called Judaizers, and the Judaizers were Jewish Christians who were fanatical. They believed that you had to follow every law, every rule that we find in the Old Testament, that in order to be a Christian, you had to also practice all the Jewish customs and all the Jewish traditions. At the exact same time, in the exact same church, was a group of Gentiles. And the Gentiles were those who did not come from the Jewish faith. They were not familiar with what we would call the Old Testament. They were not familiar with the God that we worship. They most likely had pagan practices that they had to break, that they had to walk away from, that they had to leave. And these two groups were in the exact same church. Now, this was written thousands of years ago, but it is incredibly relevant for us today. If you think that we have racial divide today, it was very present in the church in Galatia. If you think we have political divide today, it was incredibly relevant and prevalent in the church in Galatia. You had two groups of people who did not see eye to eye, who did not like one another. And Paul spends a good portion of the letter in Galatians speaking to the Jewish Christians and telling them that you are saved by faith through grace alone. It is not by works. That is, you are not a Christian because you observe certain laws or rituals. You are not a Christian because you've gone to church. You are not a Christian because you've been baptized. You are not a Christian because you've memorized or read part of the scriptures. You're not a Christian because you've given some money to the church. That doesn't make you a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking into Chick-fil-A makes you a delicious tasting Christian chicken sandwich. It just doesn't transform you just because you walk into the room. What transforms you is faith in believing and acting on who Jesus is. And Paul makes this abundantly clear. But once he makes that clear, there becomes another issue. Because then the Gentile Christians are saying to themselves, well, if we're free, if we don't have to follow those rules, then nothing, there are no rules. It doesn't matter what we do. And Paul says, no, listen, you got to make sure that you get this. You are called to be free. You are free in Christ. But at the exact same time, do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Another way to say this is just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. As a Christian, you are free. God doesn't love you less when you mess up, and he doesn't love you less if you follow certain rules or you don't follow rules. So you have freedom, but just because you have freedom, just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. Just because you can cuss doesn't mean that you should. Just because you can watch a program on Netflix or Hulu or YouTube doesn't mean that you should. Just because you can go to a certain place and you have the freedom because you know God will love you even if you go to this place, just because you can does not mean that you should. So do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, to indulge in the sin, to justify behavior that is not glorifying and honoring to God. Instead, Paul says we are to serve one another humbly in love. To serve one another. Put that in your pipe and smoke on it. We are called to serve. I don't see a lot of that going on. But as Christians, this is a non-negotiable. And what I want to make sure that you know is that just because you can share an opinion on social media does not mean that you should. Just because you can refute someone's stupid article that they share on Facebook doesn't mean that you should. Just because you can get defensive and you feel you have a right to be offended by someone doesn't mean that you should. The mindset that Paul says we are to have is to serve one another humbly in love. He goes on to say in Galatians 5:14, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Now, if you are new to the church scene, and maybe you felt overwhelmed because there's so much in the scriptures, and there's so many laws, and so many books, and so many rules, and you're just like, I don't know where to start. Well, the amazing thing is that Jesus is the first one that we have that sums up the entire law, the entire rules, everything. He sums it up by saying, love your neighbor as yourself. And Paul here is quoting Jesus. So if you want to know where to start, if you want to know what does it mean to be a Christian, this is it in a nutshell. To love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you are a Christian and you've been a Christian for a while, this is something that you need to write down because it's so easy to forget. When our emotions get the best of us, it's so easy to forget how we are supposed to treat other people. It's why I love the quote from Mark Batterson, a pastor in Washington, D.C. He says, it is easier to act like a Christian than react like one. As Christians, we are called to love one another, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. This is something, I don't know if you're a fan of tattoos. I don't know if you're a person who gets tattoos, but if you do get tattoos, I recommend getting this tattooed on your body. Specifically, get it tattooed on your knuckles. So while you are typing online, you see, love your neighbor as yourself. We need this as a reminder to how we are to treat other people. Another way to say this is, when you are wrong, how do you wish people treated you? When you are wrong, how do you wish people treated you? Can we just reflect for a moment? All of us have been wrong about something. All of us have had a dumb opinion that we shared publicly at some point. All of us have had a naive opinion, an ignorant opinion. All of us have made a decision that we knew was wrong, and yet we did it anyway. And when you got caught in that bad decision, how do you wish people treated you? When you blew something and just totally missed the mark, how do you wish people treated you? When you said something stupid and you got caught for it and someone called you out, how do you wish they treated you in that moment? When you have been wrong and when you are wrong in the future, how do you wish people treated you? That is how you are supposed to treat other people. In fact, that's our big idea for today. The big idea, and I encourage you to take notes on this. I encourage you to post on social media the big idea. I like posting it on Facebook because every year it comes up in my memories and it helps me remember the things that I've learned or the things that I've heard before. And so I encourage you to share this as well. The big idea is, when others are wrong, treat them how you wish to be treated. When others are wrong, treat them how you wish to be treated. When someone posts an article that you feel is wrong, how would you like to be treated when you've posted something that ends up being wrong? When someone says something that you feel is rude, how would you like to be treated when you've said something that was rude? When you get offended, how do you wish people would treat you when you've offended them? Think through this lens and it will change the way that you interact with people. We all have this eye for an eye mentality that says, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. And Jesus says, no, that's not the way you are to treat people. You are to set an example. And how do you do that? You love your neighbor as you love yourself. Treat others the way that you would want to be treated. Now, here's where the pushback comes. The pushback comes from the truth tellers out there. And I love the truth tellers. We need the truth tellers out there. The truth tellers are the ones who feel like they cannot stand by when there is an untruth that has been shared. And if you are a truth teller, then there, in a lot of ways, I appreciate your gusto. I appreciate your courage to come out and just say what you feel is a truth. And you are going to want to push back on this because you feel like, no, if someone says something that is wrong, they need to be called out. That's the feeling that you have right now. And I want you to reflect and just do a few moments thinking of, I love the following quote: the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion. The world is changed by your example, not by your opinion. If you are a person who feels like it's your job to correct every wrong opinion out there, then I want you to ask yourself, is what I am doing working? If what you are doing is working, that is, it is helping people transform into the image of Jesus. It is bringing people closer to God. It is having people change their opinion and join you on your crusade. If what you are doing is working, then keep going. But if what you are doing, if you are not seeing results, then I would ask you to try another strategy. It reminds me of some street evangelists in Texas. I went to seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, and often at big, large gatherings, when we would exit the gathering, there would be these street evangelists that would come from some church in the area. And oftentimes when we would walk out of the movie theater, this group would be standing in front of the theater and they would be declaring what they felt was their truth, what they felt was the truth of Scripture. They would be yelling at the top of their lungs, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent, those who don't know God will burn in the fires of hell. Repent, if you don't know Jesus, you will burn in hell." They would scream it and they would yell it at us as we would exit the movie theater. And I often would try to be nice, and they would just come right up to you, and I would try to engage them and listen and, you know, nod my head, and they would always end up asking questions. And they would ask if I knew Jesus, and I would say, yes, I know Jesus. I love Jesus. He is my Savior. And I then would say, not only do I love Jesus, but I'm also a pastor, and I'm in seminary training to learn how to teach other people to love Jesus. And at that point, they quickly would change their questioning, and every time they would say, so you believe that the only Bible that we can preach and listen to and read is the King James only scripture? And I would say, no, I do not believe that. And then they would say, well, then you're going to burn in the fires of hell. Can I just tell you, I don't think they're right, but if they are right, they did not convert me in that moment. The way they treated me was not like, you know what, I need to rethink some things in my life. Every time, because they were hostile, because they weren't willing to listen, because they weren't really interested in engaging, and they weren't interested in a relationship, all they did was push people away. And if you are a truth teller, I want you to celebrate and love the fact that God has put that in you. But at the exact same time, you have to have wisdom to know, is what you're doing working, or are you pushing people away? Knowing the truth is not enough. As Christians, we have to find ways to deliver the truth in a way in which people will listen. And can I just encourage you, if you are a Christian, a way to do this is online. Right now, social media has so much negativity on it. There are so many just toxic opinions. There's so many strong opinions. There's so many people who are just being ugly and rude to one another. And I get it. The temptation is to just not post, or the temptation is to leave it and not get on there. But can I just challenge you with that? Jesus said that Christians are to be the light of the world. And where is the world? Online. Everybody has social media. Everybody has a computer. So for us to look at the darkness and run away because it's dark, we are not doing what Jesus has called us to do. And I can just tell you, in the last 3 weeks, I've thought often, I am done with Facebook. I am done. I'm done with the drama. I'm done with how easily offended people are. I'm done with all the bickering and arguing. And every time I've thought that, I've heard this little conviction, this little voice inside of me that says, no, you were called to be the light. Don't run away from this darkness. Let me tell you like this. Maybe you've never thought about it this way. But if you were in a completely pitch black room and there was just darkness and you couldn't see anything, and you were somehow able to add darkness to that darkness, what would change in the room? Nothing. Darkness does not become more dark. On the other hand, if you were to add a little bit of light into this darkness, what would happen? The light would repel the darkness. And if you add more light to that light, it adds to it. And before you know it, all of the darkness would leave the room if you just keep adding light. So if you are a Christian, I want to encourage you and challenge you. You cannot and should not be passive online anymore. You should not be a person who just scrolls. You should not be a person who doesn't engage. We need people to be the light of Jesus. We need positive voices. And so I want to encourage you to do something. It doesn't have to be every day, but just on a regular basis, post something that is honoring to Jesus. Bring positivity. Bring Jesus's light. Let's change the world. I have set my own standard that every day I'm going to post at least two to three times on Facebook something positive, something that's going to make people laugh, something that is going to engage people and help them to think. I am going to intentionally try to bring light to all the noise. And I want to encourage you to do the exact same thing. I'm reminded often by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s quote where he said, love is the only force powerful enough to turn an enemy into a friend. You may have the truth, but the goal is not just to beat people up with the truth. The goal is to convert people. The goal is to influence people. The goal is to turn enemies into friends. Why? Because on the other end of that opinion is somebody that God loves. And as a Christian, you are called to engage them in a way that honors God. We are to love our neighbors like we love ourselves. Paul goes on to write next in Galatians 5:15. He says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. How relevant is that to us today? He's talking specifically to the two groups of people in the church in Galatia. And he says, listen, I know you have differences. I know you have political differences. I know you have racial differences. I know that there are things about each other that you just cannot accept and you don't agree with each other. But hear me on this. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, because the only thing that's going to happen is you're going to destroy one another. It reminds me of a verse in Proverbs, the Old Testament part of the scripture. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath. So how do you deal with the jerks in your life? How do you deal with that jerk in your office who just is short with you and who you just can't stand to be around? A gentle answer turns away wrath. You don't fight them with what's natural. You don't bite them back. It doesn't solve anything. You don't bring hate when they bring hate. You don't bring darkness when they bring darkness. You don't bring unhealthy ways to engage in conflict when they bring unhealthy ways to engage in conflict. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So, how do we practically apply this? What can we do? What can we do to literally apply out and live out this verse? Well, I want to show it to you up here on the marker board. There's something that I try to do anytime I engage someone, specifically online, where there's a lot of heat and a lot of different opinions. I try to make my decision on how do I engage this person based off of the following. If you're taking notes, which I encourage you to do, you can create a little grid here with four boxes. Top left, right, kind. Top right, unkind. Side left, listen. Not listen. Okay, I want to walk you through this. Whenever you're dealing with a jerk, whenever you're dealing with someone who is unkind, you need to take yourself through this grid. Can you respond to them in a way that is kind? If you can respond to them in a way that is kind, you then move down and you ask, are they a person who is willing to listen? If you can respond to their jerkiness in kindness and they are willing to listen, then you engage. That is, then you have a conversation, then you reply to their comment, then you share with them some information. If you can be kind and they are in a place where they're willing to listen. But what happens if you are kind and they are not willing to listen? If you can be kind, even if they're being a jerk, but you are dealing with a person who cannot listen, then you are to bless and release. Bless and release. This week, I got to practice this. I quoted Winston Churchill, which I thought was a very relevant quote, and I thought it had a lot of relevance with our time right now and with the opinions. And someone that I do not know, that I've never met, that somehow I'm friends with them on Facebook, and I use the term friends very loosely, they decided to make the opportunity to post that it's all the liberals' fault and that liberals are destroying our world and threw out all sorts of things like white privilege and just went on this rant that it made no sense to me and in my opinion had nothing to do with the quote that I shared. So what did I do? Kind. And I wanted to engage to see if he was willing to listen. So I said to him, hey, I love comments and I appreciate comments on my posts, but I'm not sure what your comment has to do with the quote that I shared. Can you explain it? He then quickly went on to explain, and it was more, in my opinion, nonsense. It was more just an opinion. It was more like looking for a fight. And so at that point, I determined he's not willing to listen. He's not sharing because he wants to hear an opinion or wants to change his mind. So at that point, you know what I was able to do? Bless and release. Jesus said that we can shake the dust and move on. If someone doesn't receive you, if they're not willing to listen, you bless and release. Shake the dust. Move on. So I replied to him, thank you for explaining your comment, and that's it. I didn't engage him anymore. Just because someone posts something doesn't mean you have to engage with it. Just because someone shares an opinion that is negative or you believe is not the truth does not mean you have to engage. You are not invited to everybody's party. Every post is not about you. Every comment is not about you. Well, what happens if someone is a jerk to you and you in the moment cannot be kind, but they are willing to listen? If that's the case, then you wait to engage. You wait to engage. If you cannot be unkind, but they are willing to listen, then you can address it by saying, hey, listen, I have something that I need to share with you, or I want to share with you. I just can't do it right now in a way that honors God. And so give a time out and come back. Address it eventually, but wait until you can be kind. It's important to address it, but don't do it until you can be kind. So what happens, though, if you can't be kind and they are not willing to listen? Well, at that point, you set up a healthy boundary. A healthy boundary. A healthy boundary. A boundary is a fence, and a fence has a door to it, a opening, a gateway. And in the fence, you get to decide who comes in and who goes out. And if someone is not willing to engage in a respectful manner, if someone is not willing to listen, if they're not wanting to be kind, if they're just looking for a fight, then you have to set up a boundary. That means that there might be some friendships that you have to take a pause on. That means that you might have to ask for a transfer in your job. It's not that you're running away from the negativity. It's that you understand yourself. And in this moment, you cannot be kind to them. It's just so infuriating. They are so stubborn. They're unwilling to listen. So you set a boundary. And once you set that boundary, then you can pray for them from a distance. Because Jesus said that we are to pray for our enemies. So pray for them. But it's going to be really hard to pray for them if you are around them all the time. And so this is where you set up a boundary. And I can't tell you all the boundaries to set up, but you need to set up a healthy boundary until you can come back and be kind and they're willing to listen. So I want to leave you, though, with one last thing. And I want to leave this with you because I see Christians doing this on a regular basis. And I think this is incredibly applicable. This is how we engage when someone is a jerk to us. But there's something else that we can do to love our neighbor like we love ourselves. We also need to think, especially when it comes to being online. And to close, I just want to give you this acronym. This is something that I would encourage you to remember and to think about before you post anything online, before you have a conversation with anyone. This is so helpful, and I did not come up with this. Someone else invented this. The acronym stands for Think Is True. Is it true? Before you post an article, have you fact-checked it? Before you post an article, please check to see if it is written by the Babylon Bee. The Babylon Bee is satire and it is not truth. Do not post an article from them declaring that it is truth. Do some fact-checking. Ask some questions. Google is your friend. Before you post something, ask, is it true? Is it true or is it just an opinion? Is it a reaction? Is it true? H is it helpful? Is what I'm about to post, is it helpful, or am I just adding to the noise? Am I just declaring that someone else is an idiot? Am I just declaring that the other side is a bunch of idiots and they're all wrong and they're all stupid? Am I just making noise on the internet? Am I making noise in my conversations? Or is what I'm about to say, is it actually helpful? Now, some of you might say, well, telling someone they're an idiot is helpful. They need to know that. I would say you're not following the verse that we just read. You are to treat others like you want to be treated. I stands for, is it inspiring? Before you post something, ask yourself, is this going to inspire? This is why I try hard to practice. I want to be known for what I am for and not what I'm against. Declaring what you are against doesn't draw people from the other side. All it does is gather people who already agree with you. Contrast that with declaring what you are for. You know what I'm for? I'm for adoption. I am for equal rights. I am for loving my neighbor as I love myself. That's what you want to share. It can still be your position. It can still be what you're passionate for, but share the positive end of it. Share what you're doing to change the world and watch what happens. Is it inspiring? N is it necessary? There's no spell check up here. Necessary. N-E-C-E-S-S-A-R-Y. I think I got it right. Necessary. Is it necessary? This is incredibly important because there are a lot of people who feel like it is their job to comment on every post or every opinion out there. And please hear me on this. Not everything is about you. Not everything is about me. It is okay just to scroll past something, even if it's a wrong opinion. Is it necessary? Is what you're going to say, is it necessary? And finally, K. is kind? Is it kind? Which takes us all the way back to this up here. Is it kind? Now, I believe that if you follow this, it'll help you apply what Paul is teaching. And I hope that I didn't step on your toes too much, or I'm really hoping that I didn't offend you if you felt like I was talking directly to you. I promise you, there's not one person that I have in mind when I'm sharing this. I see this stuff often. And what I want to say to you is that if you are a Christian, you can have healthy relationships even when the other person is unhealthy. You can have amazing friendships even when other people are toxic. You can show love even when everyone else is being unloving. You can do that. Why? Because Jesus first did it for you. Jesus didn't love you because you were lovable. Jesus loved you at your worst. He loved you despite the fact that at times you have not loved him. Jesus loves you. So because we receive his love, we then give his love. Because we receive his forgiveness, we then give his forgiveness. And so I believe in you, and I believe that if you're watching this, you can have healthy relationships, but it's going to take some work. And it starts with following Jesus's words, which Paul echoed, to love our neighbors like we love ourselves. Or the big idea, when you've been wrong, how do you wish others treated you? Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to not just hear this stuff, but to take a moment to listen, to reflect, and then to apply. God, would you help us to kill the inner jerk? And more than that, God, would you help us to pursue love and to win enemies over to friends? We ask that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, that you would change the world because we are changed by you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you next week.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.